If you're here for the first time, welcome. I believe that you're going to have an interesting time with us and you're going to be blessed. I'm busy with a series on understanding curses, understanding how the work of the devil can impact your life. Let me start off by saying that these meetings are interdenominational. That means that we have people here from conservative backgrounds. We have people here from charismatic backgrounds. We have people here from Pentecostal backgrounds. We have all sorts of people here. And I know that you grew up with a certain church dogma or theology. And I know that you have a certain way of seeing things. But let's just get one thing straight right now. Regardless of what you believe, if what you believe is not biblical, if it's not in the word, it's rubbish. Hello? No, don't get upset with me. That's the truth. Jesus said the following, John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Whose truth will set you free? God's truth. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. How many of you have had a little bit too much to drink in the past? Come be honest with me now. For some of you, that was this afternoon. All right. So you've had a bit too much to drink. And what is one of the favorite topics that people come up with when they are pickled? Religion. Come on. How many times have you heard people argue, going great guns about religious matters? And if you're sitting there and you're sober and you listen to them, you think to yourself, what a load of rubbish. Some people, their belief is in what somebody told them in a pub while he was pickled silly. Do you think that that truth will set you free? I beg to differ. That's just going to cause problems. That'll bring bondage into your life. Okay? There is only one truth that will set you free, and that is the Word of God, my friend. You better get the truth from the Word of God, and you better find out what the Word of God has to say about your situation, because let me tell you something. If you take a look at that screen, it says hope. There is hope. Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. If you put your faith in God. Amen. All right, let me introduce you to somebody. Tony, please make your way forward here. Who was here last week? Did you see we had an awesome week last week? God was good and we were very blessed. Now, Tony is one of the people that we prayed for. We prayed for everybody that was here, but he's one of the people that we prayed for, and he had a particularly nasty problem with his shoulder. You couldn't move your shoulder. This very big dude fell on you, tackled you rugby style. Was he drunk when he did that? Apparently not. Okay, and then your shoulder got dislocated and your ligaments were damaged. Your ligaments came out and all sorts of stuff. And you couldn't move your shoulder. And your arm was in a sling and all sorts of stuff. And you came for prayer on last week, Sunday. And then tell the people, I'm going to ask you to talk into the microphone because I'm recording this. And then I want you to just tell the people what you felt, what you experienced, and what the result was. Talk to them.
Good evening. Okay, after we prayed for me, I felt like the end of my shoulder. And was moving my bones. And they put the ligaments back into place. And as I said, I can move my...
I want to say that for those of you that were standing by my side when I was praying for Tony. Tony, come stand here. How many of you believe he looks just like Mr. Bean? I'm only joking, man. He looks more like Mr. Bean than Mr. Bean does. But in any case, when I started praying for Tony, did you move your shoulder or did your shoulder move by itself?
It moved by itself.
Oh, and you just show me that look of, you had this look of. Okay, but just show them that look that you gave me, that like startled, oh my God, what's happening look.
I can't show, but it was true. I didn't expect that to happen because I could have, like I said, there was like an end touching my bones and you could have seen the ligaments, the bones were moving themselves alone into place.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. No, come here. All right, now, he says, no, you can stand here. He says the ligaments are all back and you can all see that he's moving his shoulder freely. And the doctors told him that that would take months to happen. It took God 20 seconds, and it was back. Now, he says that he still has some problem with the bone in the shoulder. If God can sort out the ligaments, do you believe that he can sort out the bone?
Amen.
All right, Georgie, come here for me, please. Stand behind this man. Look at me. God did something for you on Sunday. Do you think he can do something for you now? Yeah, let's just rescue his glasses. Otherwise, he's going to send me the bill for them. All right. Everybody here, who of you has faith? The Bible says we have all received a measure of faith. If you're not raising your hands right now, I must come and lay hands on you and pray for you. You have faith. Amen? You have faith. Now stretch out your hands towards this man. Stretch out your hands towards him. Tony, look at me. Whatever the problem, God is the solution. Amen. Right. Do you have faith? You better. Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. I want you to just say to the Lord, Lord, please heal my body. All right. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to just have to leave him there. When he gets up, we're going to ask him what happened to his bones. Watch this space. Amen. But wait, there's more. There is a sermon. Who of you would like to learn something from the Word of God? Bless God for that. Okay, the first thing that I want to show you. Let's quickly go back to what we're talking about. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Let's quickly once again dispel a popular myth. People believe because they are children of God. They believe because they belong to God, because Jesus became their Lord and Savior, that they are for some strange reason untouchable. That there is this halo over them, and the devil, when he looks at them, he says, "Oh, I better not touch there because that's going to bring problems into my life." Let me ask you this question. How is that belief working for you in your life right now? You see, number one, the devil is real. He's not a figment of somebody's imagination. He is real. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are numerous references to Satan being a real person. He can speak. He is capable of intelligence, and he is evil. Amen? When he was still in the heavens, he was called Lucifer. While he was called Lucifer, we know that he was the choir leader. He was in charge of music. That's why today he uses music in a big way to cause lots and lots and lots and lots of problems. In fact, I know that we shared the series on music a while ago, but seeing as we're busy talking on things that can curse your life, let me talk to you a little bit about music. That's not really what I was going to talk about tonight, but there's a lot of young people here, and you deserve to know the truth. So I want to share with you one or two testimonies on music. A couple of years ago, I'm talking about maybe 13, 14 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, a young man comes to see me and he says to me, "I've got big, big problems and I need help." I say, "All right, well, what's the story?" He says to me, "No, the lights go on and off in his house by themselves. Him and his wife are sleeping and then the duvet gets pulled off the bed. They put the lights on and there's nobody in the room with them. The pillow gets pulled out from under his wife's head while they are sleeping. There's strange noises, doors shake and rattle, and in other words, there is poltergeist activity in the house." I said, "Oh, that doesn't sound very good." Yeah. Then he shares this with me. He says it all seemed to start after him and his wife had a very strange experience in a club. They went clubbing. In fact, they went to a rave. While they were at this rave, of course they were using funny stimulants, etc., etc. I think they were on ecstasy, but I'm not 100% sure. It's a couple of years ago. But they were using stimulants, and they were on probably some kind of a high. And he was in what they call a chill room, which is a place where you go and crash till you get a bit more energy, and then you go bounce, bounce, bounce back onto the dance floor. And he was lying there, and then he saw his wife walk through the door. As his wife came walking towards him, he saw her appearance change in front of him. The flesh began to melt off her face. By the time she stood in front of him, there was no more face. There was just a skull. And then the skull was engulfed with flames. The eyes began to glow red. And a voice, a very deep voice, spoke to him and said to him, "You are mine. I will destroy you." Of course, he went just right there. jumped up and ran out of the club. Fell down in the street, started having a panic attack. 5 minutes later, the doors open and his wife comes screaming, running like a bat out of hell. He realizes that's his wife, forgets about his own panic attack, runs after her, catches her, asks her what's going on. She tells him a story. She says to him, by the time he manages to calm her down, she tells him this. She says she was dancing on the dance floor and she saw him come towards her. As he was getting closer to her, the flesh began to fall from his face. Ultimately, there was just a skeleton. It began to be engulfed in flames. These red eyes began to glare at her. A finger pointed at her and said, "You are mine. I will destroy you." Within 10 minutes of one another, they both had exactly the same experience in this club. It freaked them out completely. Of course, you know that you know that you know that you have problems when you experience these things, and you tend to start looking for help. So there they are telling me their tale of woe, and I go to their house to go and pray for them. His wife had tried to commit suicide a couple of times since then. I walked in there, I spoke to them, a whole bunch of demons manifested. Let's first see how this man is doing. Are you going to do a one-arm push-up for me now? Oh, amen.
And I was on the floor now. Well, my body was burning. And the small pain I had is on my bone, yeah. It's gone.
Amen. God is good, eh? God is good. All right. Good. Your wife is very chuffed because there's heavy stuff to move at home. Getting back to the people. I cast a bunch of demons out of his wife. I cast a bunch of demons out of him. And then I noticed something. I noticed that these people, they had an enormous amount of CDs. But I'm talking like hundreds. Apparently they spent all their spare cash on CDs. In fact, I think they spent more than their spare cash on CDs. I think now and then they had the last of the month salty crack snack. Yeah. And I took a look at the CDs and I saw a lot of stuff that I thought to myself, wow, you know what? This stuff doesn't look too kosher to me. There's problems here. There was lots of dark music, death metal, whatever, you know, all sorts of funny stuff, bad stuff. And I spoke to them and I said to them, you know what? I have a feeling that the type of music that you are listening to is aiding what Satan is doing in your life. Now, when we talk about these things, people get very upset very quickly. Oh, Adrian, you're saying that my music is bad. I'm not saying anything. I want you to keep an open mind. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know that that means you? Look at your neighbor and say, that means you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. The devil isn't after God. He can't do nothing against God. He's after God's creation, and that's you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to upset you. He wants to make you negative. He wants to make you despondent. He wants you to try and commit suicide. He wants you to give up on life. He wants you to feel rejected. He wants you to feel depressed. He wants you to feel hopeless, etc., etc. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, that means you, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Satan isn't a lion, but he likes to act like one. There is only one lion. He's called the Lion of Judah, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? If you want to make a comparison, it's like when you watch The Lion King. There is Simba the lion, and then there is Scar. Jesus is like Simba. The devil is like Scar. The one acts like he's a lion, but he's just got a bad attitude. That's all he's got. He's got no power. He imitates. He imitates. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is always looking for an opportunity to bring destruction and devastation into somebody's life. The Bible warns us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25 to 27, give the devil no place. When you give the devil place, you open a door for a lion to come into your life. He will maul you. He will eat you up and he will destroy you. And it will not be well with you. Why am I saying this? Because I want you to listen. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober has two meanings. Mr. Wilson, come stand here with me, please. You are an expert at being not sober. I'm just joking. Wilson, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been drunk as a skunk?
Yes.
Your mother says yes. And when you are in that state, would you agree with me that you are much more open to suggestion than what you would be tonight?
That's true.
If one of your friends tell you to do something stupid, and you and Mr. Jack Daniels have had a bit of a party, would you consider it, even though when you are sober, you would never consider it?
Yes.
How many times have you done it? His mother's in the church. He's pleading the fifth now. He's not going to answer me. Do you agree with me that alcohol causes problems?
Yes, I do.
Have you experienced that firsthand?
Yes.
Good. Are you going to do something about it?
Yes, I am.
Have you done something about it?
Busy doing it.
Do you want to do something about it now?
Yes.
George, come stand behind him. Son, the Lord gave me a word for you. Your life is about to change. Look at me. Your life is about to change. Your life will never be the same again. It is your choice whether you want to receive this or not. But if you choose to receive this, the path God has for you is a path of victory, of peace, of joy, of love, of hope. But if you don't choose that path, you are going to be on a path of destruction. Right now, you are at a crossroads and you know that this is true. The one side is pulling you, but the other side is also pulling you. The lure of the world is strong in your life. It's time to make a choice. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go with God? Raise your hands. Look in my eyes. I take authority over that spirit. You know who I'm talking to. We are not going to have a fight tonight. It has already been spoken. In the name of Jesus, come out of this boy. Come out of this boy. Come out of this boy. Don't fight. Don't fight. In Jesus' name, go. 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 Stretch out your hands. All of you, stretch out. Have faith. Have faith. I am going to pull the spirit out of you. Listen to me. He's going to leave you tonight. And this turmoil that you feel, it will stop tonight. Decisions that you want to make, but you can't, you will make them from tonight. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Now! Pick him up. Son, look at me. Look at me. Did you feel that thing go? Right. Now, something is going to happen. It's gone. Your life will change. It's gone. Do you hear me? There are decisions that you've been wanting to make, but you couldn't. You will make them from tonight. And you're going to see blessing. I want you to listen to me carefully. Opportunities are going to come for you in a work-related area. You are going to see promises come to pass that God has given you in the past. You began to doubt. Stop doubting. God doesn't say something unless he means it. Be blessed. Give the Lord a big hand. Okay, where was I? I was telling you about the music. Now, we were talking about the lion. Be sober, be vigilant. And then we spoke about the effect of alcohol. Be sober. But you see, sober doesn't just mean alcohol. Sometimes when we say to somebody, be sober, we can be referring to the way they think. Be sober-minded. Think soberly about things. Think soberly. When I say to you, think soberly about something, what am I saying? Be clear-minded. Be open. Think soberly. Don't be narrow-minded. Look at all the facts. Do you understand? I'm trying to convey what the word means. I'm hoping I'm getting it across. But when the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. I think one of the reasons why the Apostle Peter speaks that way is because even in the days of Jesus, a lot of people doubted whether the devil was real. Well, you see, the more things change, the more they stay the same. There's a lot of people that doubt whether the devil is real. It's like, no, man, that can't be true. Curses, they'll never happen. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they're real. The Bible says they happen. The Bible says they affect people's lives all the time. Getting back to those young people. They have all these CDs. I take a look at these CDs. I get a very bad vibe. I say to them, listen, yeah, I think you should seriously consider. You know that the devil is after you. You better make a plan to get rid of whatever it is that's calling him into your life. I have a suspicion this music that you're listening to, this is not good stuff, and I think you should get rid of it. Now, there's some of you sitting here and you're saying to yourself, man, well, he wants me to get rid of my music. I'm never going to do that. Well, you haven't had some devil on your case. But if you've had some devil on your case and you've seen what Satan is capable of, you won't think twice. You'll get rid of it quickly. And you know, because a spirit of suicide, a demon of death, had just come out of his wife. This man took one look at me and he said, well, if I have to let it go, I will let it go. Do you know what they did? They took pretty much their entire CD collection. They put it in a wheelbarrow. They poured petrol over it. And they set it on fire. Do you want to know what happened while that fire was burning? Demons started screaming out of his wife. One by one they left. You know why? Because they got power over her life and power over his life through the type of music that they were listening to. Makes you think, doesn't it? Many years ago, I was praying for a woman. She was a Satanist. Her mission was to infiltrate churches and bring problems. When she wasn't trying to mess around in the church, she used to go clubbing. She would relate to me when in one of the sessions that we had, that she had a specific demon that used to kick when certain kinds of music would play. She woke up in prison on four separate occasions of her life. She says when certain music started playing, the demons inside of her went ballistic and she lost control completely. The one time she nearly killed a woman, slicing her neck with a broken bottle. She had no recollection of actually doing that. But when that type of music started playing, it began to touch the spirit that was inside of her. Not just one, there was a whole bunch of them. She would lose control. There are some of you, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You go clubbing a lot. Have you noticed that there's a lot of violence at the clubs? Well, on the one hand, we can blame the alcohol, and you would not be wrong. But on the other hand, I want to say to you, don't forget the music. Because music is spiritual. I want you to listen to me. Music is spiritual. Ed, have you got that stuff from the music on your laptop? Have you? Yeah, okay, but that's not going to work now because... Do me a favor. Can you put it on your stick and take it to my computer, yeah? and then just come and play it for us. Eddie's going to get something ready because I want to show you that what I'm saying to you now is not a bunch of rubbish and it's not hocus pocus. Now I'm going to share something with you. You're right. Just to give you an idea. Don't worry about him. I'm going to share something with you to show you what I'm talking about. Ezekiel 28. Listen to this. God is speaking to this prophet and he says the following. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say unto him, this is what the sovereign Lord says to you. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, the ruby, the topaz, the emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared for you. You were anointed as a cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked amongst the fiery stones. You were blameless in all of your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. Now, I want you to just bear with me. But I'm going to have to just go to my computer quickly and find this in the King James Version. Does anybody have a King James Version of the Bible here? King James. Nobody. Well, then I'm going to have to go to my computer. Just give me a second. The reason I want to show you something in the King James is because there is something that the King James says that none of the other Bibles say that is in the original text. And if you don't know this, probably what I'm going to share with you tonight is not going to make a lot of sense to you. Let's quickly find this. Ezekiel 28. Ah, all right, here we are. Okay. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Okay, we skip that part because we know it. And then he goes on and he says, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Now let me read you this verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee on the day that thou wast created. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes. Will you just get that ready for us quickly, please? Now, I want the music. Is it going to play through there? Just that first, you know the intro that we normally do? Those first five songs. Get that ready for me. Okay. We could do the rest from the New International Version. Verse 11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Let's stop there. You were in Eden, the garden of God. How many people do you know that was in Eden, the garden of God? Okay, give me some suggestions. Who was in Eden? Were you in Eden? Were you in Eden? So then it's not somebody around now. Who was in Eden? Adam was there and Eve was there. Now, listen to this. He's prophesying over somebody that can hear the prophecy. Is Adam still alive in the days of Ezekiel? Mm-mm. Is Eve still alive in the days of Ezekiel? But you see, there was somebody else in the Garden of Eden. Who was that? Satan. Is he still alive? Yes. Can he hear the prophecy? Yes. Okay, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And then he says, the workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. What's the thing as a tabret? Tabrets and pipes. Okay. It's musical instruments. The one refers to percussion instruments and the one refers to wind instruments. One is string instruments. Okay. Sorry. String instruments. And one is wind instruments. When you think of string instruments, what do you think of? Guitars, violins, cellos, harps, pianos. A piano is a string instrument. Okay? When Satan was created, he was created in such a way that all of those musical instruments was part of him, and then pipes. When we think of the pipes, what are we thinking of? If there's any Scotsman, yeah, you will jump up and tell me you're thinking of the bagpipes. But it's not just bagpipes, we're talking about wind instruments. All right? Now, as far as wind instruments go, we have trumpets, saxophone, what? Flute, panpipes, bugles, harmonica. All right, okay, so I think you get the idea. The devil is very good with music. I don't care whether you like it or not. It happens to be true. The devil is brilliant with music. Did you get that ready for me? All right, now, I want to show you something about music that you did not know. Which one are you going to do first for me? All right, I'm going to play you just a short clip. I want you to listen to this clip. And then I'm going to ask you one. Okay. Who enjoyed that song? Let's ask you a couple of questions. You, ma'am, with the pink. We imported you all the way from the north somewhere, right? How did that song make you feel? Happy. How did it make you feel? Great. And you? Who felt joy, happiness, excitement while that song played? Okay. Let me ask you this question. Who of you felt joy a second before the song played? Not necessarily. Some of you might have had like a joyous experience somewhere in the day, but you did not feel joy the way you felt it the moment the music began to play. The music programmed you. The music caused you to feel something that you weren't feeling. Let's look at another song. Play me the second one. Okay. How did that make you feel? Energetic. How did it make you feel? Now you're just copying out. You can't say what he says. How did it make you feel? Happy. How did it make you feel? Relaxed. How did it make you feel? You don't like it. Oh. Well, we all have our own tastes. Amen. Bless God for that. Who have you felt, what's the word I'm looking for? Excitement. What did you say? Courageous. Motivated. I think that's it. Motivation. Upliftment. Power. Yes, I can do it. Who felt that? good. But did you feel that a minute before the song played, or did you feel it because the song played? Do you agree with me that the song affected instantly how you felt? Play the next one for me. Okay, now let's see, who can I ask? How did that make you feel? Depressed. And you? He has no words. And you, sir? Sad. Who felt a combination of sadness, morbidity, depression, somber? Who felt somber? Look, 2 minutes ago you felt happy. Then you felt inspired. Now suddenly you're feeling sad. What changed? Only the music. Play the next one for me, please. Before he blows my speakers. I want everybody that was busy doing this to come for prayer afterwards. All right. You do not leave the building until we laid hands on you. If you felt excited by that music, you got a problem. All right, let's check what people felt. What did you feel? Violent. I like it. And you? In other words, you felt disgusted. All right. Suicidal. He felt suicidal. Okay. Again, I want to say to you that 3-4 minutes ago, you were all happy. Now we went into anger, intolerance, and suicidal thoughts. You've just gone on a journey. Your emotions have been all over the place. Why? Because of music. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Satan is the god of music. That doesn't mean all music is evil, because God created music. But Satan has taken music because he was created for music, and he has turned it very evil. Now, not all the music out there is evil. There is a lot of very good music out there. How many of you enjoyed the worship tonight? Give the Lord a big hand for that, please. That is blessed music. But there's a lot of bad stuff out there. And I want to say something to you. It's your choice what you do with your life. But if you go to clubs that play this type of music, if you listen to this type of music, don't be surprised if you are going to encounter a lot of sadness, a lot of anger, a lot of rage, a lot of violence, because music can trigger that in people. And if somebody that's already got demonic problems walks into a place like that, the demons in them feed off the music and become more powerful, and they begin to lose control. I was sharing with you about this woman that was involved in Satanism, and when she went into certain clubs and certain types of music began to play, she would lose control completely. Now, I put it to you that she's not the only one. There are a lot of young people that go to clubs and start losing control because of the type of music, because some music is absolutely blatantly demonic. And the more you listen to it, the more power those demons have in your life, and they begin to control your life. You see it often when teenagers get to that age where music becomes important to them. And sometimes because of peer pressure and because of the group that they hang around with, unfortunately, they begin to listen to things like Slipknot. And a young person that had a quiet disposition, that was very nice and kind and had good manners, etc., in a question of months, weeks even, can suddenly become angry and dark and bitter and spiteful and vengeful and curse everything simply because of the type of music and the spirit that works with that music. Now, I said to you, I went to pray for these people. They had a lot of CDs. I told them, listen, yeah, some of these things doesn't look so kosher to me. I think you should get rid of it. When they burnt the CDs, they began to manifest. They began to feel things come out of them. I'll actually share an example with you where I was there myself. A young man comes to me. He's got lots and lots of problems. He tried to commit suicide. He'd been on drugs. He had lots and lots and lots of problems. Mental disorders, the works. I start praying with him. We start talking about music. And he shows me the type of music he listened to. He had dabbled in Satanism. He had dabbled in witchcraft and all sorts of stuff like that. And the type of music that he listened to was really dark metal, like dark goth metal and all of this stuff, really bad stuff. I said to him, son, I can't tell you what to do with your life, but you better make a decision to stop listening to this rubbish. You can't have God deliver you. I'll give you an idea of how this works. Let's say God delivers you. That's like Him taking off your old, filthy, dirty garments and giving you a brand new white suit. It's brilliant to have that white suit and for God to touch your life and clean you. But if you go home to a coal scuttle, you will become black very quickly. Sometimes our environment and the things that we allow into our life causes our lives to become dirty. He understood it. Can I tell you why he understood it? Because he had a supernatural experience. He was alone the previous night. He was smoking Zol. He was communicating with spirits, doing all sorts of stuff. The next moment, this 8-foot thing stands in front of him. He has an experience similar to the two young people that I shared with you. This thing begins to laugh and keeps calling his name. The thing says to him, I've come for you. I've come for you. I've come for you. He ran 15 kilometers trying to get rid of this thing. You can't get rid of demons. You have to cast them out. You can run, boy, but you can't hide. They'll find you. Eventually, he passed out. Next morning, he woke up and walked home, phoned me, and we dealt with the problem. Went to his house, and I saw this music. I said to him, after we cast out some devils, I said to him, listen, yeah, this stuff, you had better go. He said, no problem, it'll go. We go to his mother's house. We get a wheelbarrow. We put all these CDs in this wheelbarrow. We set it on fire. Do you know that something began to scream out of those CDs? You've never heard anything like it in your life. You could actually hear voices begin to scream out of those CDs. Me and him, we were standing about a meter and a half, 2 meters away from the fire. The next moment, a sound begins to come from the fire. It sounds like a jet taking off. This like really like a lot of air being pushed. And then this, I can only call it like a plume of flame shot out between me and him. As if it was directed at us. More at him than at me. Praise God for that. I tell you what, that oak jumped this high. There was one or two things that he wasn't 100% certain he wanted to get rid of. Guess what? After that thing jumped at him, he took them and he threw them in the fire very quickly. God has a sense of humor, amen. Yes. And you know what? He got delivered. He's still serving God. Bless God. So, that was just a bit of food for thought. I'm not going to spend much more time on it. But I want you to know something. We're talking about things that can curse your life. There are certain types of music out there that is absolutely blatantly satanic and demonic. Every time you play it, a spirit begins to move with the music. Don't tell me that it will not influence you, because the music we played tonight influenced you. Now, if this music could influence you without demons, Slipknot has a couple of demons, by the way. And maybe that Mozart one. Especially if you're already feeling depressed, you listen to that, you want to blow your brains out. But the other ones was just normal music, and they affected you in a powerful way. How much more do you think music that has demonic components working with them will affect you when you sit and listen to them over and over again? So, you know what? The Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because we don't know the truth, the devil seems to be winning. The devil shouldn't be winning. He's a loser. He lost when Jesus sorted him out on the cross. He will always be a loser. But sometimes it can look like he's winning simply because we don't know the truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen to me. We are not destroyed for lack of being religious. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are things God wants you to know. Can I tell you what the problem is with some people? When you try and teach them the truth, they get upset. No, but I don't see it that way. Can I tell you something? It's not about how you see it. It's about how God sees it and how the devil sees it. I've had a lot of people tell me, I don't see it that way. And when we pray, they pop. They change their minds very quickly when that happens. But why should you have to pop first before you change your mind? Why can't you just accept the truth? Listen to me, my friend. God is always right. God is always right, and His word does not lie. If His word warns you about certain things, you should take that warning very seriously. You know, a lot of Christians, they take these things with like a pinch of salt. And then a year, 2, 3 years down the line, we pick up the pieces. And you can't understand why you got all these problems in your life. Music can be evil. Let's move on. I wanted to share examples. How much time have I got left? 10 minutes. Jeez, that's not a lot. All right. Let's talk about bitterness and unforgiveness. We haven't really spoken about that yet. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus shares a parable. He shares a parable that he simply refers to as the unmerciful servant. It turns out that there was this man. He was a servant of the king. He owed the king a lot of money. And the way it worked back in the day, there was a certain time that you had to pay back the money that you owed. You feeling better? Amen. You feeling lighter? Come stand here with me. We'll get back to the unmerciful servant now. All right. I want you to tell these people what you felt, what you experienced, and how you feel now. The smoking devil will go later. I think it should. Tell them what you felt.
After Pastor Aaron prayed for me, I lay down in this heat, just overtook my body. Yeah, it was something really amazing.
And how do you feel now?
I feel much lighter.
Amen.
I feel like a new man, actually.
Amen. Thank you, son. Be blessed. Now, you remember what the word of God, what the Lord said to you tonight? That there are decisions that you've been trying to make, but you couldn't. Now you will make them. Go back. Think about what He said. Make the right choices. You will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Okay, the unmerciful servant. So back then, if you owed money, there was a certain date that you had to pay back. And everybody pretty much paid back on the same day. You know, it was like, let's say the 30th of the month, you have to pay whatever you owe. And so this man is brought before the king and he owes a lot of money. Let's say in today's currency value, he owes 1 million rand. How many of you know that that is still a lot of money? Maybe to some of you it's not, but to me it's like a lot of money. And to most people, yeah. It's a lot of money and he must pay it and he can't pay it because he doesn't have the money to pay. This is a disaster. Because in those days, if you could not pay, this is what happened. Let's say this young man owed me money and he couldn't pay me. Then I legally had the right to take his wife and his children as slaves. They would have to work for me until they pay off his debt. And in the meantime, he goes and sits in prison. That's bad. So, of course, the servant knows that he's in trouble now. He's brought before the king. The king says, pay me. The man says, oh, please, please have mercy on me. Please, I can't pay. I'm going to make a plan. I promise you, I'll do this and I'll do that. And the king listens to all of this and the king sees that this man really doesn't have the money. And he's moved by compassion. And he says to the young man, listen here, I understand. And I'm willing to forget. The king takes the IOU and he tears it up. He tells the servant, you can go. The servant goes outside. And he meets up with another fellow servant who also owes him some money. Where he owed the king 1,000,000 rand, the other servant owes him 10 rand. Big difference, isn't it? He walks right up to him, he grabs him by the chest, he says, where's my money? The second servant looks at him, he says, I know I owe you the money, but I'm really sorry. I just don't have it with me now. But I want to promise you, I'll pay you back with interest. I'll work my fingers to the bone, but I will pay you back this money. I'm a man of my word. Please give me a chance. You know what the first servant does to the second servant? He has him thrown in prison. Takes his family as slaves because of 10 rand. The other servants, they see this thing and they think to themselves, man, this is evil. They go to the king and they talk to the king about it. When the king hears about this, he is very upset. He has the first man brought back in and he says to him, listen, yeah, what's wrong with you? You owed me all that money and I forgave you. Shouldn't you have had mercy the way I had mercy on you? Let me read you what the king said. Matthew chapter 18. And let me read you what Jesus said about it. This will shock you. Verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. That's a scary thought. Now here's what Jesus says about it, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Did you hear that? You should have a look of shock and horror on your face right now. Because that is a serious word. What happens to us if we refuse to forgive? The tormentors come to you and torment you and torture you. Do you know how many children of God walk around in a state of torment all the time? Because of their attitude towards a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a oom or a tannie or a teacher or a friend or even an enemy. The word of God is yes and amen. It will come to pass. And it's got nothing to do with how you see it. Yeah, but Rian, you don't understand. They deserve for me to be upset because they did this and that to me. That's like bite your nose and spite your face. It's not the person that you're angry with being tormented. The Bible says you are being tormented because of your attitude. Somebody once said that forgiveness is nothing other than enlightened self-interest. You don't forgive to make the other person feel better. You forgive because that's the only way you will get better. Unforgiveness causes a multitude of problems. Let me share with you one testimony. Then I'm going to be finished. Back in the day, a woman phones me. She got my number from somebody who got it from somebody. In any case, this is her tale of woe. She was invited to go to a charismatic church. She wasn't really charismatic herself, but this friend of hers was very charismatic, and there was a visiting evangelist, and they were going to have a revival meeting, and her friend wanted her to go with. So, of course, she went with. The evangelist asked people to come forward, and so this woman went forward. She had a lot of problems in her life. She had an enormous amount of sickness, a lot of infirmity, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and nothing in her life works out. So she thought to herself, maybe if this man prays for me, my life will go in a better direction. When the evangelist came and stood in front of her and started praying for her, she suddenly gave this yell, this mind-curdling shriek, and she lifted her dress and flashed the oak. She was like 65 years old. Number one, not the right and appropriate way to act in church. Number two, not what the evangelist wanted to see. I'm sure they had to pray for him for shock. And then she fell down on the floor and she started rolling around screaming. This was one of those churches that don't really know how to work with the works of the devil. They took one look at this. They said, this is rubbish. They had the woman carried out of the church and they put her outside. They locked the doors. How many of you know Jesus did not do stuff like that? So now this poor woman, she's now in a total state. So the next morning, she speaks to her friend about it, and her friend says, no man, phone the pastor and the pastor will talk to you about it. She phones the pastor and he laughs at her and he puts the phone down. Also not what she wanted to hear. So she comes to see me. I listen to her story. Listen to me. This woman, she had so much problems in her life. She had a lot of sickness, a lot of infirmity. She had heart problems. She had problems with her mind. She had problems with her lungs. There was hardly an organ in her body that was functioning properly. She couldn't sleep at nights. She had eating disorders. She had problems with her eyes. She had problems with her teeth. You get the idea. Problems everywhere. Okay. I listened to all of this. I said to her, all right, let's pray for you and see what happens. I begin to pray for her. Guess what happens? Boom, she flashes me. I'm telling you, I nearly fell down. I'm still traumatized. She falls down on the floor. She starts rolling around, screaming and yelling and performing. I take authority over the demon. I bind the thing in the name of Jesus. I command him to come out. He doesn't want to come out. After about an hour of going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards with this demon, nothing's happening, and I'm just getting the sneaky suspicion this devil knows something I don't. But the woman refuses. Oh, no, no. You know, according to her, she's got no issues in life. How stupid can you get? Look at all the problems that you got, but you want to tell me that your life is perfect. Come on, tell me another one. But you see, people are funny that way. So I pray a bit and the Lord gives me a word. He says that this woman feels she committed the unpardonable sin. I look at the lady, I say, lady, I say to the demon, demon, you just foot sack right now. I want to talk to the woman. I speak to the woman, I say to her, woman, the Lord gave me a word and what came to me was that you feel you committed the unpardonable sin. When I said those words, her eyes went big. And she said, how do you know that? I said, well, this is what came to me when I prayed about this, but you've just confirmed that it's true. And she said, yes, it's true. Do you know what happened in her life? She was like in her late 60s. But when she was in her 20s, there was two men courting her. She married the one, but she decided to have an affair with the other one. This did not last for a very long time. And she broke off the affair, and since then she stayed true to her husband. But you see, over time, the devil will not let you forget. And the older you get, the more this comes and haunts your mind. It just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. And eventually she started developing a lot of problems because of this. So I say to her, ma'am, have you ever confessed this to God? She says, what? You must be crazy. You can't confess stuff like this to God. You know, there are people that think that way. Let me help you to understand. God is omnipresent. He saw it happen. You're not going to shock him. He won't have a panic attack because of what you tell him. He knows it already. And you don't tell him for his sake, you tell him for your sake. Because the Bible says when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I have to first explain to her that she's not going to freak God out by telling her this stuff. He expects her to tell him that so that she can be helped and set free. Eventually she prays with me and she confesses this to God. Then I ask her this question. I say to her, have you forgiven this man that you had this thing with? She says, yeah, she's forgiven him years ago. I say to her, have you forgiven yourself? Her face changes. She gets this dark look in her eyes. And she shouts these words at me, never. I will never forgive myself for what I have done. What does the Bible say will happen to you if you refuse to forgive? The tormentors will come and torture you. She's also a person. Refusing to forgive yourself or refusing to forgive your mother or refusing to forgive your brother or your father is exactly the same thing. The devil doesn't see it in a different light. He sees it exactly the same. She opened her life to the tormentors to come in through bitterness and unforgiveness about what happened in her past. And then I had to convince her that she must, God expects her to forgive herself. That took a long time, but eventually she saw the light. She prayed with me and she started forgiving herself. You know, it was actually quite amazing. Maybe it was also because we'd done a lot of fighting already. But the moment she forgave herself, one after the other demon started screaming out of her. Her body was flailing about, shook, shaked, rattled, rolled, and then she calmed down. You know that in a question of 6 months, all the symptoms that she had disappeared. Every single one of them. Give the Lord a big hand. So, let me say this to you. If you are sitting here, and I know there are some of you here. There always are. And somebody did something or somebody said something or somebody didn't do something or you did something and you're walking around with the stuff in your heart and you won't let it go. Watch out. Because the Bible is true. The tormentors will come for you. And that might be why you don't have peace. That might be why things don't work out for you. That might be why you start things and then it falls flat. And you start things and it falls flat. That might be why you can't get healed. That might be why you're suffering from depression. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to work because you see, Satan uses the weakness that he finds in you. No two people are the same. He might be more predisposed to fear. So the devil will bring fear upon him. She might be predisposed to anger. The devil will bring anger. He might be predisposed to doubt and confusion. Now he's falling apart. He even doubts his existence. Hello? How do we stop it? You can't stop it until you obey God. The moment you begin to obey God, things change. Let me give you just one scripture. And then I'm finished. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all His commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, you will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, etc., etc. But I want to focus on the first part first. If you fully obey the Lord your God, in other words, if you are obedient to God, this is what will begin to happen. The Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. You will be exalted. If you are in the pit right now, the pit of despair, the pit of anxiety, the pit of fear, the pit of depression, the pit of sickness, there is only one way to get out of the pit. You need to be exalted. You need to be lifted out. You cannot be lifted out until you are first obedient. There's a lot of people, they refuse to be obedient to God, but they want God to heal them. They want God to change them. They want God to deliver them. Listen to me carefully. He won't. Because exaltation comes through obedience. And that's why you need to know the Word of God, because it's difficult to be obedient if you don't know. And you know, in America, they have this funny word of way of saying things. Ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. The devil doesn't care whether you know the Bible or not. If you are disobedient, he comes for you. So you better start knowing the Word so that you can start being obedient, because then you're going to have a lot less devils messing with you. Hello? Oh, you acts are all so serious. I'm glad. You should. You should listen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Well, bless God. Okay, next week, we continue. By the time we're finished with the series, you will understand how these things work. You will be able to apply this knowledge. And this knowledge, being truth, will lead to freedom and victory.